This is an NC Baptist resource. For more, visit ncbaptist.org. Welcome to the NC Baptist Podcast, the podcast designed to engage with ministry leaders around topics that will explore approaches and resources to help us be on mission together. It's because of your generosity that this resource is available. Learn more at ncbaptist.org/give or contact us at communications@ncbaptist.org.
Welcome to the NC Baptist Podcast. I'm Chad Austin, Managing Editor of The Biblical Recorder, the official news journal for North Carolina Baptists. The Biblical Recorder is excited to sponsor today's episode and highlight the cover story of the March-April edition of our magazine, which features a retrospective look at NC Baptist Disaster Response Ministry, which celebrates its 40th anniversary this month. Joining me in the studio today is someone who was there at the very beginning of it all, Richard Brunson, Executive Director of NC Baptist on Mission. Richard, welcome to the podcast.
Well, Chad, thank you for having me, and thank you for focusing on disaster relief, and thank you for that excellent article that you've written in this issue of the Biblical Recorder.
Well, thank you very much. It was a joy to do that and look back over the history of this very visible ministry for North Carolina Baptists, and thanks for sitting down today to talk through that a little bit more. So, Richard, this month marks the 40th anniversary of one of the deadliest and most destructive tornado outbreaks in the history of our state. On March 28th, 1984, a band of strong storms moved across the South that produced 24 confirmed tornadoes, 11 in North Carolina, 11 in South Carolina, 2 in Georgia, that collectively resulted in 57 deaths, more than 1,200 injuries, and millions of dollars in damage. One of the hardest hit places in North Carolina was the town of Red Springs down in Robeson County. There, the storm ravaged the town's business district, literally leveled an elementary school, downed trees, knocked out power and telephone service for days. Yet this storm that caused so much damage and destruction and devastation 40 years ago also gave rise to a brand new ministry among North Carolina Baptists, Disaster Response. Mm-hmm. And today, Disaster Response is one of the most visible ministries of Baptists on Mission, the organization you lead. But back then, it was literally just getting started and getting off the ground, and the first ever deployment was in response to those tornadoes in Red Springs. And you were there. What was the state of the Disaster Response as a ministry in North Carolina at that time?
Well, Disaster Relief was started in 1979. And there was this auxiliary group to the convention, North Carolina Baptist Men, and then our staff were really brotherhood. And North Carolina Baptist Men Auxiliary decided to start disaster relief. So the first thing they did, they purchased this used, very used moving van. I don't even think they had to pay for it. It was probably donated because I remember seeing it. We kept it at Caraway. Volunteer teams would come up on weekends and work on it. But when they first got this unit, you could stand on one side and see all the way through it because it was so rusted out. And that's the first piece of equipment we had. And volunteers, you know, were just using their hands, and a lot of them knew how to build things. They were cabinet makers. They were people who worked with sheet metal, and they built the first feeding unit. Now, they started in 79, and it was 84 before they finished. But there were faithful volunteers. Leroy Yates was kind of led that. He was a truck driver, and there were other people who just gave a lot of their time and energy to this thing. It was kind of like, you know, I'm thinking about it now, it's kind of like building an ark where nobody thought there was ever going to be a disaster, you know, and then all of a sudden, these deadly tornadoes, and North Carolina had more deaths, more damage than any of those other states. It was just a very powerful series of tornadoes that came through Red Springs, Maxton. And so that was the beginning, and that was that first piece of equipment. And 1984 was the first time we responded as North Carolina Baptist, and it really was pretty phenomenal how God used that in so many different ways.
One of the interesting things about working on this story is looking back, and I love history. I do remember the tornadoes. I was about 10 years old when they happened, but I remember hearing about those where I grew up and driving through the town on the way to the beach shortly after that, and just remember hearing that and hearing about all the damage and destruction. But I did not know at the time about the response of Baptists on Mission. And you mentioned the feeding unit that was the first piece of equipment. And in the magazine, we've got went back through the archives and got some old pictures of the feeding unit, and there's a picture of it there. Mm-hmm. And you can see some of the damage and destruction from some of the old issues of the recorder from back then. But you were a seminary student at that time, working part-time with Baptists on Mission, then known as Baptist Men, and you responded to that first deployment. What do you remember about that? What did you do on that? And just what are your recollections of that time?
Well, first, I want to say something. I'm so impressed with the job you did on this story and all the research you did, pulling up those old recorders, and you showed them to me, and it was just really neat to look at that and think about how pivotal a moment. Organizations kind of have defining moments. This was definitely a defining moment, not just for Baptist on Mission, but for North Carolina Baptist, for lay people. And we can say more about that later, but thank you for doing that and actually going down and interviewing people for this story. So it's an excellent piece, and thank you for taking that time.
Well, thank you.
So for me, I was a seminary student. I started working for Baptist on Mission, then Brotherhood, and then later North Carolina Baptist. It was the same organization all through those years. In 82, when I started seminary, and I worked part-time, and we responded, and we had a really small staff, and we all went down to help. And so I remember sleeping in that original feeding unit that you have a picture of in this issue of the recorder, and we worked. We had single burner cookers. And all we did then was cooking. That's how it started. Now there's so many aspects to disaster relief, but then it was just feeding. It was hot meals. And I remember the whole time we were down there, I think we did a total of maybe 3,000 meals. And we thought, wow, 3,000 hot meals. And, you know, now God's given us units and equipment we can do, and we have done 30,000 meals a day, you know, and that was 3,000 meals for the whole week that we were there. But it was the first time it was God used it to help people see that there are things they can do for God, and they should be involved where the needs are, because God cares about those people in Red Springs and Maxton and other places where there are disasters, and we can be God's hands and feet. And that was really revolutionary for people to realize that they could do something besides pray and give. They could go. They could be God's hands and feet. That was the beginning of a lot of different ways that now, as North Carolina Baptists and as Baptists on Mission, we try to respond to hurting people. But it all started 40 years ago with this tornado.
That's amazing. And you had mentioned some of that to me when we spoke and I interviewed you for this story. And you alluded to this as a defining moment. Well, this was the first moment, really. Mm-hmm. But there have been a lot of defining moments over the last 40 years. As you think back about the disaster response ministry and what it's become today, what are some of those defining moments that come to mind that's grown out of that start that it got in Red Springs?
Well, that did start it. And I think what it started in people's minds is when they hear the news, they can do something about it. And actually, they're called to do something about it. And we're talking about primarily lay people. Leroy Yates was a truck driver, you know, but here it is. Here's something that he felt like he could do for God. And, you know, God could use him. And there are hundreds and thousands of volunteers who, because they got involved in disaster relief or partnerships or other things, felt like they could do something for God. And as we look back at different defining moments, and most of them were big disasters. You know, I'm thinking of Hurricane Katrina, Andrew, 1992, one of the worst, you know, Category 5 hurricane, just devastated South Florida. And we were set up in one of the hardest hit areas. And, you know, we saw God's hand at work in so many different ways. But the equipment, the volunteers that God's provided, I think help people realize that you can make a difference. God can use you and the gifts you have. And we're called to be available and to do something when we hear about needs, and to do it in Jesus's name. And so you've got Andrew, and you've got Hurricane Mitch, and you've got Katrina in 2005, and you got Floyd in 98, and you got Florence, you know, more recently, and Matthew, and all of these were just opportunities. 9/11 was a defining moment. You know, so there's so many of them. And different things were needed, really, in each of those disasters. And a lot of the ministries, you know, I said we started with just feeding. Now there's all kinds of ways. For example, after 9/11, we were set up in New York City, and we were set up at the Pentagon. But in New York City, the volunteers were helping clean out apartments that were around Ground Zero, and they were getting filthy. And somebody called, one of our leaders from New York said, we really need to be washing clothes. And we said, okay, well, let's build a laundry unit. And so that was the first laundry unit that anybody had ever built. And it just kind of came out of what is the need and what are the gifts that God's given us that we can use to meet that need in Jesus's name. So it really was, you know, was a catalyst for a lot of things of doing ministry in different ways.
It's interesting to hear you talk about how it grew over time and seeing it's really in response to meeting needs. One of the individuals I spoke with down in Red Springs said that back then, no one really knew and maybe even wondered why Baptists are getting involved in disaster response. But that same individual said now, whenever there's a disaster, as you said, when you see something mm-hmm. on the news, you expect to see the people wearing those familiar yellow shirts there, serving, ministering, meeting needs in Jesus' name. Richard, you've literally seen it all. But back then, was there ever any thought of what this ministry could ultimately become into what it is today?
I don't think anybody could imagine, you know, what it is today. And I think it was just like, here's one need and what can we do to meet it? And that opened other doors and that built relationships. And even a lot of our partnerships came out of different disasters. You know, Hurricane Mitch in Honduras, we started sending volunteers and that developed into a partnership with Honduras. You had other things like in Haiti after 2010, the earthquake. We were able to send in medical teams and construction teams to help, and we were able to get in. God opened all these doors, and that created in people a sense that we can actually do something in Jesus's name, and we can be used by God to minister to hurting people. And it opened other doors. When we responded to the tsunami in Southeast Asia in 2000, and it was in December of 2004, when we responded to that disaster, we built relationships with Hungarian Baptist Aid because the work we were doing in Sri Lanka for a couple of years after that tsunami, and that opened doors to our Roma partnership now in Hungary. So all these things kind of came out of this change in our mentality about, you know, people can personally get involved in missions. And I think that's had a big ripple effect way beyond disaster relief. And but it started with just being faithful with what people had, what little we had, and God's blessed and given us more and more. And I think about a couple of verses, you know, I think about in Genesis where we're blessed in order to be a blessing. But I also think about that verse, to whom much is given, much is required. God's given us all kinds of resources. And as North Carolina Baptist, that's for His glory. And we've got to be willing to give those, give of ourselves and go sometimes to hard places in order to meet needs in Jesus' name.
You mentioned involvement. How can people get involved with disaster relief or one of the other ministries sponsored by Baptists on Mission?
Well, you know, we do have training, and that's important. The trainings are going on right now across the state. That certainly helps people in certain things. You have to be trained, like feeding or childcare and other things. But there's so many ways to get involved, and there's so many people who are involved who aren't even trained. You don't have to be trained. We have mission camps. We have rebuild centers. We need lots of volunteers. You don't have to be skilled. We offer training. You know, we have a construction skills training that we do about four times a year in different locations, mostly at the mission camps. And so there's all kinds of ways people can go and make a difference in somebody's life. And that changes people. That changes their thinking about what they can do and how God can use them. And it changes their churches. And they start looking outside at needs around them. It changes the lives of the people that they're working with. I don't know how many places where volunteers have gone in and worked with the homeowner who was affected, and the hope that they're able to give to them because somebody cares who's not being paid. When they hear, you came from North Carolina to Vermont to help me do a mud out on my house, or you came to Hawaii to help do ash outs after the fires in Maui, and the hope that they have and the way they can see, the homeowner can see, yes, we did it because God loves you and God cares about you. And this is done in Jesus' name. And many times you're either planting seeds or those people want to know how they can come to know Christ. And so God's using those efforts. But it, up until really 84, there really wasn't this mentality. We thought that only professional missionaries could go and do things. This was really a revolutionary thing that we're not just called to pray and to give, but we're called to go. God wants to use every Christian as a missionary, should be a missionary. Every Christian's called, gifted, and sent. And I think it was disaster relief and other things, but this first thing that happened 40 years ago with the tornadoes through Red Springs and Maxton and how a smaller group of people responded became more of a movement where a lot of people now automatically, the first thing they think is, how can I really make a difference in somebody else's life? And that really was, I think, revolutionary.
It's fantastic. I love the work that you do and all the volunteers and your staff. And I've gotten to see firsthand some of the responses that have taken place more recently. And just thank you for being out there and for all the work that you do. We could go on and talk for hours, but our time is coming to a close. But I really appreciate you joining today. And if you haven't read the article in the Recorder, you can go online and read it now at brnow.org. Richard, thanks for being part of this special edition of the podcast today.
Thank you, Chad. I'm honored to be here, and I'm real thankful for how God's done all this. It's not us. It's what God's done. And I'm just so thankful for how God has provided and open these doors and is using ordinary people to really do extraordinary things in His name. Thank you.
The Biblical Recorder was excited to bring you today's edition of the NC Baptist Podcast, and you can listen to more episodes just like this one at ncbaptist.org/podcast. Thanks for tuning in.
Since 1833, The Biblical Recorder has served as a trusted news source for NC Baptists, providing stories and content that inform, equip, engage, and inspire NC Baptists to be on mission together. To learn more about the Recorder, visit brnow.org and follow the BR on social media. Also, get the week's biggest news delivered right to your inbox every Wednesday morning through the BR's weekly email newsletter. Sign up for free at brnow.org/newsletter.
Thank you for joining us today. Because of your generosity to NC Baptist, this podcast, along with other helpful resources, are made available for you. Learn more by visiting ncbaptist.org/give.